Welcome. This is the podcast of Care Austria with Andrea Barstorff-Hager.
So welcome to the podcast of Care Austria. We are still in Sarajevo, the capital of Bosnia, Herzegovina. And my guest now is Emina Hajro. She is 17 years old. She also lives in Sarajevo. She was born and raised here. And she attends a sport gymnasium. And she's also part of the youth club and also part of the project, which started already in 2013, the Young Men Initiative. Nowadays, it's taking place all over the Balkanese countries, not only here in Bosnia, but also in Serbia, in Kosovo, and in Northern Macedonia. And literally thousands of students, of young people are benefiting from it. And I'm proud and happy that I have now a young lady as our guest. So, Emina, a warm welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So, share please with us when you heard first about this program. I think it was in 22, because we have 21, no? We have different cycles.
Yes, it was 2021. Mm-hmm. I was in my school, I was in my gymnasium, and my guidance counselor actually recruited me. She called me to her office and she said, listen, we have this program. I think you will be a good fit for it. It's completely voluntarily. You can go if you want. You don't want to go if you don't want. And then I said, of course, I want to try new things. I want to be in contact with other people. I want to have an impact. So then I went. I came here and just everything changed for me.
Can you clarify a little bit what changed? You are a volleyball player, right?
Basketball player.
Sorry, you are a basketball player. So you are very sporty.
Yes.
Young woman. And you played very often, I assume, per week, right?
Yes. Everything changed for me in a few aspects. I was always kind of a rude girl, I can say. I was very tough always. And when I came here, I actually didn't know that this was what I wanted to be doing. I wasn't comfortable at first, of course, meeting new people from new schools all around the city. They were all just new faces to me. And then after a couple of months, I realized actually that all of these people are now like a family to me. They made me feel comfortable. I've changed myself. I've realized that some of the ways that I knew before, they are not right. I've realized that I can accept myself. I can be who I am when I'm here.
What do you mean you were a rude girl? You were impolite or...
I was a bit tough. I was very selfish. I didn't really pay attention to the other people. And when I came here, they made me realize that when they actually accepted me, I started accepting them and everyone else around me.
But you had friends at school, right?
Yes. I was quite a popular one at school, I can say. Mm-hmm. But it was all because I really thought that I was cool. I had a lot of friends. I always loved sports. You know, when you're tough, you are popular. That's kind of a thing now. I mean, that's very sad. When you're popular because you are kind of rude to everyone. You have a lot of friends, but I don't think that should be the thing.
Others admire you.
Yes.
For all the things that you did.
Yes.
And you were quite successful in basketball, right?
Yes, I was actually. And I think that I played really well, but unfortunately I couldn't continue.
So this group was a sort of eye-opener for you?
Yes.
And it helped you change more easily than your parents could help you or other persons?
Yes. Well, nowadays people can't really, I mean, especially people, kids, I could say my age, really can't communicate with their parents openly and freely because they obviously live in a different generation. We grew up differently. I mean, there was war in Sarajevo and they were raised completely differently. And most people my age really don't have a relationship with their parents. Luckily, I do. I am an only child. Mm-hmm. That's because I have very, very close relationship with my parents. And I'm really glad that I have it, but it was just not enough for me. I actually thought that it was enough. When I came here, it was, as you said, an eye-opener. I really thought that I had everything and that I needed everything. But when I came here, I realized that I actually had nothing and that I needed all those people to just support me and be there for me.
So you think, and I'm convinced about that too, that the war in former Yugoslavia had a massive impact on the generation of your parents. And you still live with it without having been part of it, right?
Yes.
I had also this, we had a group discussion before with the whole group, and Emina mentioned, she was the only one who mentioned the war several times. So all these wounds and all this history is still alive also for a very young generation still.
I mean, they have to be there. Our parents went through it. It is a trauma. I mean, going through a war, and they were relatively young. My mother was even younger than me. When she went through a war, she lost her father. I mean, it is a trauma.
Yeah.
And it really, she tries not to reflect it on me, but it really cannot be hidden.
Emina, when you hear now the news about Ukraine, what do you think?
I think it's a very tragic event, first of all. War, I don't support it in any kind of way. I think there are many, many different ways to sort some
conflict
and conflict, yes. I think it's a tragic event, and I really don't see a reason why anything like that should be doing any kind of war or any kind of physical contact between anything. I'm really sorry for all the people that lost their lives, actually. They had to move out of the country. It's just tragic.
It's a tragic, and is it something you talk about in the Y Club as well?
Yes. It's not a common theme, but we came across it a couple of times. We are very much, what we talk about is how much we are actually grateful for what we have here, for the people we have, for the families we have, and how somehow the war is kind of behind us, how we have luckily continued in Malta.
I mean, this program also takes place in Serbia and Kosovo and Northern Macedonia, and you have a certain exchange to youth groups of
yes.
these countries, right?
Yes, we actually came together a couple of times and we talked about it. And we have camps that take place in Camp Sutjeska. The camp is around middle of July, and we always meet all of the countries around the region, Bosnia, Croatia, Serbia, Kosovo, Macedonia, Albania, we all meet at the camp. There are like hundreds of us, but it's really a fun experience. I mean, we talk in English, obviously, because we can't understand Albanian, but it's an amazing experience. It's fun and games mixed with education as well.
And all the tensions and all the things that led to the war, they don't play any role anymore for the young generation?
Luckily,
you
yes.
say that?
Luckily, yes, I would say that I'm really, really glad. And I don't like that when my parents talk about it. I'm really, really glad that in the younger generations, it's not present anymore.
So these camps and this exchange, would you say it is important that things stay peaceful as they
yes.
are and that it is not important anymore?
Yes, I would not say that it's not important, but I would say that we have to remember our history, but we should not obviously not repeat it, not hold a grudge against it, because I believe that the younger generations are coming. It's just a revolution.
Mm-hmm. And maybe you can frame a little bit, because there are certain topics, and it sounds a bit complicated, because these gender norms, I mean, you're a sportswoman, sports girl, you are very clever, you're very intelligent. Would you say that it is still a problem, that there is a gender gap, that there are more opportunities for boys here in Bosnia than for girls of your age, talking about your age now?
Okay. Yes, I think there would, because as an example, I know a lot of private schools that recruit young basketball players. There are only men basketball teams. There are no women basketball teams. So that means you can't get a scholarship to play for the private school, for the private college. I believe that men's basketball is way, way more watched, way more
funded,
well. Yes, way more pushed. As an example, men's league, they have about 20 games in a season. We only have 3 to 4 games. I believe it is an gender
issue.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And other parts of life, you would also say that. Is it in school? Are you privileged in your school, for example, when you're a boy? Would you say that?
In school, no, I would say. At the educational system, I think that we are kind of progressively moving on, that we gladly treat both genders equally. But I would say in an older life, when you're a director, when you're a teacher, it really does still play, unfortunately, a role.
And clubs like the club you're part of, do you think they help to break these gender patterns and norms? Change them, not break them, is maybe too strong.
My club was only a women club. There was no men club. There was actually the same one. I mean, we all battled against it, you know. It's just what we have to do. We try to break through. We try to get some spectators on our games. We try to promote our home games.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying the best we can.
And you're also a peer educator, right?
Yes.
And you reach many children and students of your school.
Yes.
Which is a large school, right?
Yes. We have about 600 to 700 students, I'm not sure.
And all of them more or less get some sort of peer training and education.
Yes.
And they like it.
Yes, they like it. Not from me, then from my colleagues.
And you touch in these lessons, you touch topics that are relevant for young people like you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Sexual reproductive health, one of them, something that is also needed, sort of this education in our own country, in Austria. Then you talk about drug abuse,
also bullying, sexual activity, mm-hmm. sexual bullying, verbal bullying, and all forms of it.
And you find it more convenient to talk in a peer group, more comfortable?
I think that especially people that I hold my lessons to, they feel more comfortable talking to me when I'm a couple of years older mm-hmm. than talking to like a superior or our guidance counselor, someone who is way, way older than them.
So you have been part of this program now for some time. Would you say that this approach should be established not only as a project, but really as part of the educational system?
Yes, I think that is indeed very necessary. We should really encourage people to do this because, as I mentioned earlier, people would listen to me because I am a couple of years older than them. And some people can say, why can she do something that I can't? Why can she know something that I can't? So that's why people listen to them, to me, actually. And how I see the improvement, as an example, I take one class and I perform the educations on them. And for the last year and a half, I can see their progress. I can see how they are glad, actually, when I come with my friend. We also work in pairs. And I can see how their aspects of life, I can see how they are thinking. Their aspects really, really changed in a year. And I'm really glad that our educations and our mentorships really have an impact on someone.
So this is something that makes you happy yourself as well?
Yes.
Right? And helps also your own self-confidence?
I mean, you practice to speak in front of someone. It was not easy at first. I was afraid if I make a mistake, if I say something. But again, it's easier and for me to do it in front of someone who is younger than me, who is inexperienced in all of that. So if I make a mistake, it's not anything bad. And after some time, you really get a hold on to it.
So we could all get a very good impression what an eloquent and good speaker you are, Emina. And we had to do this podcast in English language simply because I'm not able to speak any BKS. So I really thank you for sharing your thoughts and your ideas with us. What is your wish for your personal future? What is your biggest wish for you?
My biggest wish? I would actually like, my biggest wish right now is to learn new languages and to travel around the world and to be overall successful in life, to have a peaceful life and peace of family.
So we really wish you all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Emina.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening. This was Care in Action, the podcast of Care Austria with Andrea Barstorff-Hager. For further information, go to care.at. Sponsored by CC Real.